Welcome to the Round 20 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Pretty fantastic, as you'd probably know from my score on the weekend. So we'll get into a score update shortly. But the main topic for this week is the Supercoach Finals. It's finally upon us, Mark.
Woo!
Looking forward to these next 4 weeks. In tonight's show is a quick rundown of the last four rounds of the season in terms of who has a good draw and who doesn't. So if you're looking for finals players to trade in because you've kept a whole stash of trades away, then this is definitely the show for you. But we'll start off with our personal update as we do each week. So Mark, you can kick us off.
Do I have to?
You have to, mate. I need you to set this up as a, you know, sort of, I didn't do so well, so I could come in and go, wha-bam, I killed it.
All right, well, I don't want to sound like a whinger, so I'll make it quick. I had Boyd, Hall, Deledio, and Steph Martin on the bench this week, which did not help. McVay and Collins in the 60s. Cotchin and Rockliffe both scored about 80. Petrarca on the field, and a Martin donut. So that led to about 2350, and I've dropped out to about 830 in the rankings. Now, you did better, mate, so you tell your story.
Really unfortunate news, Mark. I think this is literally a whole month. I think 4 weeks straight where you got hit by two injuries every week when team sheets were released. And this week, Stefan Martin hitting you for a donut was particularly painful. So definitely feeling for you, buddy. And you represent us quite heavily in our Supercoach Coach League. So I'm definitely rooting for you. Like I said last week, I'd prefer if we were both moving up together. But yes, I did have a big score. Fortunately enough, I only had Boyd sitting on the bench and Sam Collins came in with a 61. So not the end of the world. Hanbury bounced back. You'd be at least happy about that. Mark with a 144.
Yeah, yeah.
Gray, 134 was nice. Treloar finally bringing in a big score for my team. I think this could be his first one at 122.
Has been struggling.
Mm-hmm. Rory Laird, another big one. So he's pushing into that 100 average territory with a 129. Alex Rance, despite Richmond getting crushed, or maybe I should say because Richmond got crushed, he had a heap of opportunities down back. 145 was absolutely huge for my team. Wingard 100 and Green 100 again, obviously a big PODs for me. So 25-34 was my score for the week, and I thought that was pretty decent, but sounds like overall, you know, the people that dodged injuries did pretty well. So that only moved me up 150 spots to 741st, but I did manage to leapfrog you, Mark.
You did. Well done, mate. That's a great effort. I was sort of watching on the weekend and had a bit of a nap and woke up and saw Alex Rance on 100 at three-quarter time and thought, oh, crap.
Like I said, though, we still have time for the top 500 for the both of us. So I'm hoping we get there aggressively. And Martin was a rest, so he should be back for you this week, Mark, which you'd be happy about.
Yeah, I think the one thing that concerns me there is Archie Smith. He ended up having a really good game on debut, and we've seen what happens with Steph Martin. If he's not playing in that number one rock role, he does seem to struggle with the scoring. So I doubt Archie's going to be dropped this week. So, yeah, not very confident holding Steph for the rest of the year, I guess. I'm hoping that I've still got a few trades left. I'm hoping that might be an advantage over some of the other teams.
Just lucky you didn't trade to Jacobs, Mark, because I know some teams
know.
Are thinking
Our
about that.
Our poor mate Keffer did. Yeah, and he's 20-odd and injured? Pretty shattering that would have been.
In terms of a league update, we're still ranked as the number one league, which we're really happy about. We got caught a bit, though, and I think that's because of an overexposure probably to Boyd and Martin compared to most leagues.
So you're saying it's my fault?
No, I'm not saying it's your fault. I was saying, you know, we had an unfortunate week, and if that's the hit we take in an unfortunate week, I think I'd happily take that.
One thing that I'm not enjoying about Supercoach at the moment is every time I watch Melbourne play, I'm just praying that Gawn gets injured. That's a horrible feeling to have, but it's the only way I feel like I have any chance of rescuing my season.
Yeah, being able to cheer for him is pretty good. I'm sure next year, Mark, you'll be first in your team.
Yeah, and Rucks next year are interesting. I think Brody Grundy's someone I'll consider strongly for next year.
All right, we'll move on to the actual questions for the week now. We will cover rookies as well, Mark. As you mentioned, Archie Smith, he did play his first game, and we'll talk through some of the rookies on the bubble. There are actually five rookies on the bubble, so there should be a bit of content there. Before we do get into general trade questions, rookies, and the finals run home, let's talk about some injuries and suspensions as we tend to start off each week. The first question here is from Rick Powell, or at Rick Powell 13 from Twitter. Got to trade out Libba this week. Montagna, a good trade-in option. It looks like anybody who has Libba is unfortunately faced with a trade situation this week. Do you know how long he's out for, Mark?
I think listed as 3 to 4 on the injury list today.
So I think they're hoping to get him back for finals then. But for Supercoach, probably a definite trade. Well, not probably. It's a definite trade out, unfortunately. Montagna could be a decent mid-forward trade-in, but before we get to DPP options, Mark, who do you reckon the best midfield options would be? I'm looking at, you know, current price and scoring potential, and maybe even if you've had a look to the run home, who could be potentially good options there?
Yeah, I think that the first one that sticks out now after having a good one on the weekend would be Hanbury at 485. Don't need a huge amount of money to get up to him. There's not a huge amount of other options, and I guess that's why Montagna's being considered. Is there anyone stands out for you, mate?
I guess if I were to go to a mid-forward, I'd be fairly tempted by Dalhouse at 422.
So over Montagna?
Yeah, I think so. I know Dalhouse only scored 71 on his return, and his break-even's still the 161, but the price difference is still pretty healthy between Montagna and him. Montagna at 456, and I think the extra 35K could come in handy, and I don't really see Dalhouse averaging too much less than Montagna. He might even beat him.
Yeah, as a Montagna owner, I know you are as well, Marcus. He's been really frustrating of late. He can't string four good quarters together and get those 120 pluses at the moment. He's put in a couple of low scores. So I agree with you that I'd have a bit more faith in Dalhouse even coming back from injury now that he's had that one game.
How about Trent Cotchin, Mark? He's had a 67 and 78 in his last 5 weeks, but if you look over the stretch of the year, it's still a pretty decent average. He could still average 110 fairly comfortably at his price point.
Yeah, averaging about 104 at the moment, and I'd expect 105 to 110. Except for those couple of down games, he has been super consistent.
David Mundy, he scored 152 on the weekend, his highest score for the season, and 100 in each of his last 3 games. Could he be a tempting option at all?
Averaging 120 over the last few weeks, Mundy definitely has a history of going on good patches. And I know the Freo don't have much to play with, but I think he had, 47 touches on the weekend, which is crazy. So someone I would consider, yeah.
So those two options that I just mentioned, the unfortunate part is they do play for bottom 10 sides, and the top 8 look fairly locked right now, with 3 games being the difference and 4 games left to play. Now, considering that, would you prefer a player like maybe even Andrew Gaff? He's had some low games at points this year. He's only averaging 91, but he'd be building toward finals form. You'd be less concerned about him getting rested or put out to pasture for the season due to injury. Looking at his last 5 weeks, he scored 124, 103, 128, 97, and 109. So since the bye, he's hit some form.
I mean, Gaff is definitely someone I'd consider. What price is he at the moment?
494.
Wow, that's a pretty good price for someone in that sort of form. I guess coming off a low base is why that is. I think he's in the same sort of category as Cotchin and Mundy generally in regards to potential Supercoach scoring. So I would lean towards those top 8 teams, a little bit depending on what draw there is over the next 4 weeks. Like North is a top 4 team, but you wouldn't really want to bring in any of their players given how difficult their draw is. Cotchin and Mundy are both captains and look like they probably won't get much of a rest. They should play it out. So maybe they're just unique cases in that sense. But my general preference has definitely been to bring in people from the top 8 teams if I can.
So if I can maybe compare two players who price fairly similarly, averaging fairly similarly, but one has performed a bit more consistently over the other across the season, and that's Lachie Neale v. Callan Ward. So Neale's at 521,900, averaging 111, and we know how consistent he's been. Ward, on the other hand, can be a bit up and down. When he's up, he tends to score 130 plus, 120 plus. When he's down, he tends to score under 90. He can score 70, 80, 90 fairly regularly. Now, he's averaging 108 for the season, priced at 521,500. One plays for a top 8 team in Ward and has a reasonable run home. Gold Coast, West Coast, Freo, and North. The other, Lachie Neale, I mean, if you go on history, you'd have a little bit more confidence in his season so far. But in comparison, he plays West Coast, Adelaide, GWS, Western Bulldogs, and is not in a top 8 team. Is that an easy decision to Ward in that situation?
Well, I actually thought before you mentioned Fremantle's draw that it was a very easy decision to take Neale. Neale has shown this season that he has a really high ceiling and super, super consistent. Just a couple of games where he's been tagged out. I mean, he's played through injury. He's done an awesome job. But when you talk about Freo's draw being that difficult, playing all top 8 teams, then, yeah, maybe Callan Ward is the safer pick in that bunch. I'm still struggling to have a lot of confidence in Callum Ward at the moment just because there's so much talent going through that GWS midfield, and that's something that we've said all season. And it's probably something we'll be talking about in the preseason next year as well, just how difficult it's going to be taking those GWS mids when there's so many other good players running through that midfield to take points off them on a week-to-week basis. And what you might end up seeing is that inconsistency in scoring.
We missed out on some of the big ones like Pendlebury, Rockcliffe, Selwood, but you know, we've talked them to death, and by this point of the season, I don't feel like we need to rehash that again, Mark.
Yeah, if you don't have one of the absolute guns and you have enough cash to bring them in, then just do that.
All right, the next question is from Chris Connors. Now, if you didn't have a lot of cash in your bank for Libba, for example, and you still wanted to bring in a top-end premium because you're hitting somebody in your midfield and you want it to be a great player, would you double trade to deal with Libba this week if you had five trades, which is the situation Chris is in? Yeah. And I guess extending that a little bit further for other listeners, would you do it if you had four trades? Would you do it if you have three trades?
That's a really good question, and I think that the five trades is really the magic number in that question. That in a lot of finals, this week is close to the most important week, because if you've made top four, then winning this week gives you that week off and you can actually like not trade at all next week. So it's very important to try and get that win this week. And with that in mind, I think that five trades left double trading is completely reasonable, especially if you can do something like trade out a non-playing player, like just in my team I got Trengove or Rose or someone like that, and actually get a playing player into that position, so it gives you a little bit of security later off the bench as well as giving you that extra upgrade. With Libba being priced so lowly, you don't really have much options at his price unless you're going really with what you suggested, Marcus, and that's the Dalhouse option, which look, I don't think is a terrible option, but with five trades I'd be very tempted to double trade and bring in one of the higher level premiums.
If you really had no cash at all and you're looking to trade Libba out, what would you do in that situation?
What's Libba worth?
382,200. If you had three trades, would you really double trade to get rid of Libba, or would you just take a punt on a mid-pricer?
You would be very tempted to just bring in a rookie.
Stephen Motlop, even though he's been really up and down, the last 3 weeks, 82, 81, 108, and their run home is Essendon, Richmond, Brisbane, and Melbourne. I just think if you're in really dire straits, I would at least take a punt on a player who can average 100 in patches. Like, who else do you have at that price point? Lin Jong or Brad Ebert? Like, you don't have much else.
No, there's not. And I think that you're probably right.
All right, we'll move on to the next question then. This one's from Todd or at Oz Toddy on Twitter. Three trades left playing for the league. He has two shots in the final, so he made the top four. But he has Libba, Delidio, and Hall still left in his team. What do people do who have three outs and plays that aren't definitely going to be all back this week? If you only have three trades, would you consider spending one of them at this point in the season? Maybe on Libba, who's the least likely to come back at all this season?
Yeah, I guess it's a tricky balance there. Like, Delidio's worth the most, so if you don't really have any in the bank, maybe he's the better player to trade rather than Libba, just because, right. I mean, Delidio might be ruled out at some point. He's still to be confirmed on the injury list, and you're really not getting much information out of Richmond. I've got three trades left, and there's a decent chance that I'll be trading Delidio this week. It seems likely that he won't play out the rest of the year, and I can get someone like Dalhouse and still pocket a bit of cash.
I think Dalhouse seems like a pretty decent trade in at the moment. So
yeah, because that worked so well last time I brought him in. 25 points and a quarter of footy out of him.
Well, you're brave to consider going back then, Mark. Maybe trading out Delidio looks better, despite the fact that he might potentially come back. I think out of the three, Hall is the most obvious keep, because once he returns from injury, you'd say he's back in the team. But
yeah, but I mean, even like they said, 3 weeks, and I think last week he was 1 to 2 on the injury list, and then today again he's 1 to 2 weeks on the injury list. It's pretty frustrating. Hmm. And I guess, is his scoring even going to be good when he comes back? It's been very patchy this year. I'm not wrapped to have Hall sitting on my bench.
If you had the trades, you'd trade all three, which is a very, very unfortunate position to be in, having to decide which of the three to trade out. Each three have a decent case as to why they should be out of your team by now.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've got sort of three trades left, I don't think you can afford to be using two of those this week. I think that really you should be saving those last couple for donuts if you can.
What if you had four trades and you had three of those players? Would you consider double trading Libba then in that situation?
Yeah, I'd strongly consider that, I think, just because you could get through the last 3 weeks with two trades. It's quite risky. We've definitely tried that before and it's been fine. If the option is Brody Smith or double trade, I know what I'd do.
next to a general trade question, this one's from T-Mac or at Big Sexy Macca on Twitter. Should he use the last two trades to secure a win this week in a league and head straight to the prelims or risk losing and having to play next week? So my advice would be to definitely hold off this week. And if you were to use your two trades, use it next week when losing means dropping out instead of when you still have a second chance. Mark, would you agree with that or would you take a different approach?
Yeah, look, I think if you've only got two trades, then you should try and get through that first week for sure, because really your goal is to try and have one trade per week of the finals if you can. Ultimately, it'd be better to have eight trades, but you're just rarely going to end up in a situation like that. So if you can have one trade per week, if he gets through this week, then he's going to have one trade for each of the last 2 weeks for the prelim and the grand final. So he sort of win his way into a good situation.
All right, so on to some rookies now, Mark. Let's talk about the rookies on the bubble. Nathan Drummond for Richmond scored a 49 on the weekend. He's a backline player. Joshua Schoenfield for Gold Coast scored 55, and you talked him up last week a little bit, Mark. Sam Menegola from Geelong, he scored 77. I talked down his job security last week, and he still seemed to string a second one in a row. Sam Michael, this isn't the second consecutive game, but he did play second game on the weekend. He's an Essendon ruckman. He scored 28. And Shane Yaron, Fremantle forward, scoring 47. And we talked up last week the fact that he is a mature age prospect. Which catches your eye this week?
Not a huge change from last week, mate. I guess Richmond will probably want to get games into Drummond. Schoenfield looked good again. Sam Michael was pretty terrible, but the Bombers might want to give him a few games because McKernan is awful. Shane Yaron, I guess he's going to play the next 4 weeks if he can stay fit, but might struggle to kick goals given the draw that you mentioned for Fremantle earlier. I really liked Carpini. I only saw probably about half of the Pies versus West Coast game, but from what I saw, I really liked what I saw of him, but he did only score 34, so that's not all that impressive. And I guess that Archie Smith is probably not going to score 96 next week. First, he's not playing Port with Trengrove as their ruck, and secondly, Steph Martin comes in, but I guess he looked pretty decent. And I guess the interesting one there is Menegola, mate. I know that he didn't have quite a good as game on the weekend, but played in another win and has scored 97 and 77. So is he someone people should be looking at?
Like I've mentioned before, I'm still worried about his job security because of a few players still yet to come into the side that have been injured for a little while. So Josh Caddy should be back, I think, fairly soon, and Scooter Selwood as well. And then you still got Darcy Lang on the sidelines.
Selwood had 25 touches and 14 tackles in the reserves on the weekend.
I would have thought that we'd try and squeeze him into our team before finals, at least give him a shot. I mean, when Mitch Clark looked like he was available, they gave him a shot, even though he performed terribly. And I suspect Scooter will probably get a similar sort of opportunity. I don't think his prospects are as bad as if he was a young player. He at least has a mature body, so he won't be a liability in finals or anything like that. But I just think that in a top eight team, you're less likely to see these rookies play as the season goes on. Whereas for the other teams, Richmond, Gold Coast, Essendon, and Frio, you're more likely to see Drummond, Schoenfield, Michael, and Yaron potentially play for the rest of the season.
Okay, so maybe if you're looking for a midfield rookie, Schoenfield might be the best bet.
Would you consider trading in a Carpini as a MF after only one game and at 34, considering West Coast are looking at a top eight spot?
No, definitely not, man. Like I said, he looked good in the things that he did, but I think I'm pretty sure he was a late in for that game and only scored 34, so there's a good chance, I guess, he goes out this week.
Alrighty, so that's enough talk on the rookies, I think. There probably won't be a huge amount of you looking to actual rookies, so we won't spend too much longer on that. Let's move on to the finals run home. Instead of looking at all the teams and who has the best run home out of all the teams, I looked pretty much exclusively at the top eight teams. I think even if you bring in a player who's fairly reliable or fairly good in terms of injury history, you still can't be too confident if they don't have finals coming up that they're not carrying some niggle that might see them rested 1 or 2 weeks earlier. And so based off that, and based off the fact that the top eight is so tight this year and the top four still isn't locked, I think you're much safer picking from these top eight teams. And so I've only really looked there for the finals run, Mark. Would that be sort of fair, or would you still consider some non-top eight players?
Just off the top of my head, I think Carlton have a pretty good draw, especially the last couple of weeks. So they might be a team might look at bringing someone in from.
Yep, you are correct, Mark. They have St Kilda, Brisbane, Melbourne, and Essendon.
That's pretty decent. From memory, St Kilda is a decent draw as well.
They've got Carlton and then Sydney in week two of the finals. So that's good if you have the qualifying round off because you won your first top four game. And then they've got Richmond and Brisbane. So yeah, absolutely. That's a good one as well, Mark. I think that's probably the best out of the non-top eight teams, though. The rest don't really stand out. In terms of the top eight teams, the teams you should be avoiding are North Melbourne. They have Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, Sydney and GWS. An absolutely horror run. West Coast is the other team that's also facing a fair few top eight teams. So they face three top eight teams in GWS, Hawthorn, and Adelaide the last three games. So they're probably a team to stay away from as well, Mark.
Yep, agree with that.
Okay, so we'll move up to that next rung of teams now. These two teams only play two top eight opposition. I think Hawthorn probably have the worst of the two runs. They have Melbourne and Collingwood as their non-top eight teams, which are reasonable teams, and North and West Coast as their top eight teams.
So they're playing all teams about the middle of the ladder.
Yeah. That's an okay run as well for Hawthorn. And GWS, they probably have a slightly better run, though. They've got Gold Coast and Frio as their non-top eight teams, and same as Hawthorn, West Coast and North as their top eight teams. The other four teams, Mark, only play one or zero top eight teams. Western Bulldogs, Adelaide and Sydney all play one top eight team each. So Sydney probably have the worst out of those runs with Port Adelaide, St Kilda, North and Richmond. So Port and Saints playing some decent football at the moment, but still pretty great run. Adelaide, they've got Brisbane, Frio, Port and West Coast. So Port and West Coast, they're tougher two games. Western Bulldogs have North, and then Collingwood, Essendon, Frio. So I think that's a particularly attractive draw because if you get to the prelim and the grand final, you've got Essendon and Frio to look forward to.
Yeah, and I think that if you're really looking closely at these draws, that is definitely something you want to look out for, that if you want to win your leagues, the teams that you're playing in the last 2 weeks are probably the most important thing, I guess.
Yeah, and so if Western Bulldogs have the second best run out of the top eight teams, then the clear best would be the team with no top eight teams and Brisbane and Melbourne as their last two opposition, and that's Geelong. They've got Essendon, Richmond, Brisbane and Melbourne as their last four teams.
Bit of a dream run there, mate.
Yeah, those are the teams you should be stocking up from. Geelong players could even include, you know, a Corey Enright type, a Stephen Motlop type if you're looking for a discount. Selwood becomes more attractive. Western Bulldogs, Dalhouse looks really good after another week potentially, or even potentially this week at 422,000. Bontempelli, the premium midfielder that's still relatively unique, also has a brilliant run. Adelaide, Sloan, obviously we've talked up for a little while now. You might even consider Crouch in a pinch if you're looking for cash. Maybe even a key position forward like Tex Walker or Rory Laird in the back line looks great. And maybe even take a risk on Brody Smith with that type of run. Who knows? Sydney, we've talked their premiums to death. Any other names you want to chuck out there after doing that quick rundown, Mark?
I guess maybe the one that you suggested earlier was Motlop, who on face value seems crazy, but when if you look at Essendon, Richmond, Brisbane, Melbourne, maybe he's not such a crazy pick.
All right, Mark, that wraps up our quick finals chat, and we'll continue to look at the run home over the next few weeks as we continue to hone in on what to do with our last few trades. Obviously, the fixture becomes pretty important, so I suspect we'll be going back to this list a fair bit, Mark. But let's round up the show as we have done for the last few weeks with a Captain's Corner. Who are you thinking about this week, mate?
I think we need some theme music for that, mate.
Yeah.
You don't want to hum something? To be honest, and I know that Danger didn't destroy Essendon last time. That was the game. I was at that game, and I was at the MCG, and Essendon were really, really competitive in that game and played really well and actually got pretty close to winning. It was only the last sort of 15 minutes of the game that Geelong kicked away. And Danger only scored 99 in that game. I don't expect that to happen again. I know that the Bombers probably, it's weird to say that they actually played all right against Adelaide on the weekend in an 80-point loss, but I just think that Geelong might be a bit ruthless this time, especially with a top two spot up for grabs, with percentage being so important. And I think that the Essendon just don't have the tools to keep Danger under wraps, and there's been some midfielders like Rocky got 150 2 weeks ago against the Bombers. Sloan got 145 on the weekend. I just think that this week is a really good week for Danger to kill it. But unfortunately, he plays on the Sunday, so you can't really vice-captain him at all. So what my thoughts are this week is go for someone that could go absolutely massive. I want to get a 150 before I'm taking them as a vice-captain score. Otherwise, there's a good chance I'll just punt on Danger. I guess depending on where my finals chances sit. I'm thinking personally that like maybe a Luke Parker against Port Adelaide. maybe a Pendles against Richmond, but Pendles did have scans this week and pick up a bit of an injury last week. And so I'm thinking maybe even Heath-Shaw against the Suns might be the man.
I really like the way you explained that, Mark, and that's definitely how I'm approaching it this week as well. 100%, I'd be looking toward the heavy hitters. The guy I'm going to lock in myself is Maxi Gawn. He obviously can hit 160s, as he's shown a few times this year. And so I think if I'm going for a guy who can potentially beat Dangerfield's score, I think Gawn's my number one candidate and would be for most people who have Gawn.
Yeah, that's just great.
I'm sorry, buddy. They play Hawthorn, so it's not an easy opponent, if that helps. But
look, I mean, I bitch and moan, but look, you have to live with the consequences of your own decisions. I decided not to bring Gawn in this week. I've had injury problems in the last few weeks, but some of that's been like Boyd, McVeigh, Deledio, like some of the older guys. So yeah, definitely not blaming just bad luck, and I'm just shit at Supercoach.
Oh. Well, you can still trump me, mate, so don't say that too soon. I'll be feeling terrible about myself. You've got very high expectations, Simon. I hope you bounce back next week, Mark. We'll try and leave the show on a positive note for our listeners. Don't forget, if you're looking to ask us questions, I know it's toward the end of the season, but still chuck them over at Facebook and on Twitter. We are at Supercoach Coach. And for anyone who's looking to download our Patreon exclusive, don't forget to sign up to support us at patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Very, very much appreciated to the community of you out there.
And there will be a bonus show.
There will absolutely be a bonus show. So, Mark, what would you like to leave our listeners with ahead of the Supercoach finals?
Just want to say to Moosey, I'm not going to do it, mate.
You did ask me to mention that, so I'm glad you've brought it up. But yeah, unfortunately, you didn't quite get the chockies in your draft.
Moving on, mate.
All righty. All the best to our listeners out there this week. Good luck with your trading. Hopefully, those of you who are playing for the league actually saved up on your trades, and this is your time to unleash them. It tends to be a fairly fun time of year. All right, mate. All the best, and all the best to you listeners out there. We'll catch you all next week. See ya.
Yeah. 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 Yeah